We're beginning a new series this morning called Live to Give. And I just want to ask you just a quick question. How many of you, what do you think of when we talk about giving in the church? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Yeah, money, finances, right? Well, I just want to encourage you, a value of our family is that we live to give. And finances is just a small part of this. And I want to get into some things this morning and show you that God's really called us to be a people that are generous with anything that's needed to reveal Jesus to a world that needs him. And that we tend to get so wrapped up in when we talk about giving, we think about money, but really giving is a lifestyle, and it's a posture that we live from that really makes that issue of money a lot easier when we get to that issue. And I want to take you to Luke chapter 6, and just because there's a scripture there that we oftentimes apply to finances and money. And by the way, through this series, we will touch on those things. And for some of you, it'll be a good reminder to underline some things. For some of you, maybe it'll be some new revelation or understanding about what God's word really says about how to manage finances in a way that honors him and builds his kingdom and invites the blessing of God into your life. So we'll touch on those things throughout this series. But this morning, I'm not going to touch on it at all. This morning, I've got an entirely different way to talk to you about how to live generously towards others. And so are you there in Luke chapter 6? Start in verse 27. And I want to read the pretext, the context of this scripture that we oftentimes so quickly refer to finances or associate with finances, and help you to see this a little bit differently, help you to see this a little bit more broadly, that giving is a Christ-like lifestyle, that we're called to be a generous people in every area of our life. Can I just share something with you? I really believe this to be true. Give is the verb of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he could have loved you all that he wanted to, but if he wasn't willing to, we'd still be stuck in our sin. So we can love the world as much as we want, but really giving, it's why we're going and doing what we're doing today. Because we can tell people we love them all that we want, but a lot of times what really opens the heart of people to God and what opens the heart of people to faith in God is they care more about knowing whether we care for them than what we believe about God. And so we're going to be a culture of generosity. We're going to be a culture of giving. Giving's the verb of the Bible. And the culture I hope and desire to continue to build, we're already a faithful, generous church. I mean, you walk by the fellowship hall and you can just see it. You guys respond when we give you the opportunity to step up or serve or give. But we'll continue to build that radical culture of generosity. Our hearts becoming even more and more and more fully invested and bought in to building God's kingdom, seeking God's kingdom first, and trusting him to provide in every other area of our life. So look, Luke chapter 6, if you're there, Sam, there. Verse 27, it says, but to you who are listening, look at your neighbor and say, I'm listening. I say, this is Jesus talking, and he says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. Did he really say that? If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do it to others as you would have them to do to you. Reading on, verse 32, it says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But he says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful, he's kind to the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Going on, reading on, verse 37, it says, do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, here we go, here's this passage that we're familiar with. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you used, it will be measured to you. So giving of our resources is in this passage, but the context and the pretext of that passage right there, verse 38, is way more broad than just our resources and our finances. Amen? Can you see that? The pretext is actually about judgment, forgiveness, and mercy. And he's saying the measure that you give these things, everything that in life, the measure that you give to others is a measure that you will receive back into your life. And so we're in this series called Live to Give because I believe that as we learn the posture and the lifestyle of living generously towards others, giving whatever's needed to reveal Jesus or remind people of Jesus in every situation and circumstance, that's the life that positions and postures us to receive back from God. We're called to live a life of generosity. Listen, this week is Thanksgiving, and I'm grateful and thankful that we have a holiday that we focus on giving thanks, and hopefully that's what we're focused on. That's a good reminder. You know, it's about more than turkey and football. Those are good things to give thanks for. But this week is Thanksgiving, and there's something powerfully important about this concept and this principle of giving thanks. So the title of my first message in this Live to Give series is this: Live to Give Thanks. Live to Give Thanks. And I want you to see this differently this morning, especially in this week, in anticipation of the family gatherings and the things that will go along with Thanksgiving. Before you get this Thursday into your carb coma or your tryptophan trip or whatever it is, you know, that goes along with all that, I hope that I'm able this morning to communicate some truths and remind you of some things or reveal some things to you from God's word that helps you really understand the power behind the principle of giving thanks. There's something powerful behind this, and so we'll get into that this morning. I really hope, I really believe that God wants us to grasp this in a new way. Not just hear a good message and not just even believe the principle behind it, but really this morning, God wants to really attach it to who we are in the deepest parts of our being in a way that causes us to begin to live it out differently. In every relationship, in every encounter, in every moment that God's called us to live a life of thankfulness and gratitude. God's called us to live from an attitude of gratitude. Listen, if you'll grasp this morning, if you'll grasp it, I want you to hear it this morning. I really believe this has the power to really change and impact your life for the good. You know, and I was doing some research for this message, I just started digging in, just doing some Google searching, you know, just looking for some things, some researches or some studies that would underline the impact of gratitude. And sometimes when I'm doing that, I have to really dig in to find that. You know, I got to go to page 2, 3, or 4 of my Google search. But it was amazing in this way. I searched out the impact of gratitude on well-being and happiness, and just the first page was just riddled with study after study from well-known and prominent universities and medical societies that was underlining the power and the effectiveness of gratitude on personal health and well-being. And it was almost so much, it was hard. I mean, Harvard and Forbes, all these different institutions and organizations that had conducted these studies and these researches that underlined one clear underlying truth. Those who discipline themselves to be thankful and appreciative of what they have are more likely to be happy and less likely to be depressed. And so there's a powerful truth, and God wants to unpack it for us this morning and cause us to begin to live it out. How many of you know that if you believe something but you don't practice it, it doesn't have the full effect that God intends for it to have in your life? Faith without works is what the Bible say. And if we are hearers but we are not doers, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. We're tricking ourselves. We're not really getting the full benefit of something. So this morning, my hope is that God will underline this belief in our heart and begin to show us ways that we can practically begin to walk it out so that we experience the fullness of the benefit and the blessing that God intends to come with this lifestyle of giving thanks. Listen, we tend to think that our happiness and our fulfillment or our breakthrough in life lies in new levels of accomplishment or new levels of accumulating stuff. And I'm just telling you this morning, that's what I was reading in those studies. That is absolutely not true. It's not the person that has the most that's the most happy. It's the person that makes the most of what you have. Fulfillment lies in appreciation for what God has already done and is doing in your life. and the things that didn't happen in your life that could have or should have or would have happened in your life if not for the grace of God. And listen, I just want to encourage you with something. Until we settle this, that our happiness and our fulfillment is not does not lie in a promotion or more money or a different position or a different spouse or whatever it is that you think will make you happy. If you could only shift this in your life, if you could only get to this place, if God would only answer this prayer, then I would be happy. I'm just telling you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The true happiness and true fulfillment comes from appreciating what God has already done. And here's the thing, when we begin to walk that out and live that out, not just in belief, but in the way we live our life, that's what positions us to receive the greater and the new things that God really wants to do in your life. He said, those that are faithful with little, I'll be able to entrust you with much. And part of being faithful with little is saying, God, I'm just so grateful that you did this in my life. I'm so grateful for those relationships that I already have in my life to steward. I'm so grateful for the resources you've already put in my hand to steward. I'm so grateful for the job you've already given me. I'm so grateful for the spouse that you've given me. I'm so grateful for this and this and this and this that you've already blessed me with. I'm so thankful that regardless of anything that I'm facing, you saved me and you made a way for me to go to heaven and spend life eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen. Till we settle this, we're like a dog chasing his tail. The next thing, the new thing, the next job, the more money. And it's not that God doesn't want to do those things for you, but until you really develop the ability to take time and appreciate and express gratitude and steward the things that God's already done in your life, you risk missing the things that God wants to do in your life that are new and next. You risk not really being able to appreciate it. So let's dig into this today. And I want to take you to several additional places in God's word and show you some of these deep principles that lie behind this command from God to be grateful and to live from this position of an attitude of gratitude. And again, in a way that is not just something we believe, but we start to walk out, that we start to practice. How many know that sometimes, well, in any area of life, to really get good at something, you got to practice. And can I encourage you with something? You've got so much God-given potential in your life. Whatever you practice, you will get good at. So be careful what you practice. Choose wisely the things that you are intentional about developing and practicing in your life. And, you know, it's why you got to be careful. If you get comfortable just telling little white lies, you'll get good at lying. If you practice just, kind of get comfortable and you practice telling little white lies, you'll get good at lying. And you'll look up one day and you'll find yourself caught in the middle of a lie that's not so little. And not so white, is that? Moving on, wisdom is kicking in. I just got to move on fast from that one right there. No, I'm going to say it. White lies matter. White lies matter. Now I'm moving on quickly from that one right there, all right? You get good at what you practice. You get good at what you focus on. And so this perspective of living with gratitude and expressing gratitude to God and to people in our life is something that we've got to be willing to start walking out and practicing. We've got to start walking out and practicing. You'll get good at it as you begin to step out and practice it. So number one, the first point that I want to make is that a heart of thanksgiving is part of the pathway to experience God's presence. And can I just tell you, church, we are the people of God. We are not just an organization or an association. We are the people of God, and we're people of faith. And more than anything in our life, we need to encounter daily, not just Sundays, not just Wednesdays, the presence of God. It's the presence of God. Let me speak to you, mighty men of God. It's in the presence of God that you'll discover the strength to do and be everything that God intends for you to do and be as a mighty man of God. Precious sisters in the Lord, it's in the presence of God that you'll discover and you'll receive the true identity that God created you to walk out and the purposes of God that he intended for you to connect to. And you'll really understand who he made you to be and all the things that he has in his heart for you. Giving thanks is the pathway into the presence of God. Psalm 95, verse 2 says this, "Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song." Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." Give thanks to him and praise his name. A heart of thanksgiving is part of the pathway to experience and encounter and come into God's presence. And we experience it in the context, and we understand it in the context of praise and worship. There's something special that we all feel when we gather together in this room and we're all worshiping and we're praising God. There's almost a tangible sense of God's presence here. But how many of you know that that's something that God desires and intends for you to be able to experience outside of just the four walls of this church? That's something that God desires for you to begin to cultivate and begin to experience in your own personal life as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's my heart for you, and that's the heart of this church. To help every person not to develop, or help every person to not just have a one-time experience or encounter with God, but to develop an intimate relationship with him. To be able to know him and to be able to place your trust in him and to be able to follow him fully all the days of your life. And part of that is daily, this understanding that it's an invitation, people of God. It's an invitation. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity. It's not a religious requirement. It's this invitation to go in the presence of God and find your strength. It's your invitation to go in the presence of God and find your peace. It's your invitation to go in the presence of God and submit the things that you have laid out before you this day and receive his marching orders and his direction and his comfort and his protection and his provision. Giving thanks is part of the pathway to experience God's presence. And he says it, come before him with thanksgiving. Listen, I believe that when we approach God with thanksgiving, when we come to him, not just with our demands and our requests, but we come before him saying, Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, I'm so grateful. Thank you, God, for this day that you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for the breath that I have. Thank you for allowing me to awaken to another day. And regardless of what yesterday was like, I thank you that your word says that your mercies are new every day. And I thank you today, God, that you have a plan. Today is part of your good plan that you have for me. Plans to prosper me and not to harm me. Plans that are filled with hope and plans that are filled with a good future, according to Jeremiah 29:11. And today is part of that plan. And I'm just so grateful, and I'm just so thankful. And I believe as we approach God with thanksgiving and gratitude, it ushers his presence. I believe there's something to God responding to an atmosphere of thanksgiving. I don't get it, but I know we relate to it. When someone expresses gratitude and appreciation and honor towards us, whether it's your spouse or a coworker or someone else, it causes you to want to be in that person's presence. Amen? But when someone comes to you and all they have is a bad report or want to tell you about all the things that are going wrong in their life, come on, can I just tell you, some of us need to learn that when someone says, how you doing today, we don't really want to know everything that went wrong this last week. When we can relate to this, when people approach us with appreciation and gratitude and honor and encouragement, it causes us to want to be in that person's presence. And when we approach God that way, I believe there's something about it that causes God to just enter into a different way. Listen, he's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But there's something about an atmosphere of praise, an atmosphere of thanksgiving that ushers in the presence of God in a special way. Part of it is also because it fixes our focus on God. Part of it might be that God was always there and always willing to impart and to share and encourage and reveal things to us, but we were so focused that it just takes the discipline of just kind of taking our focus on all the other things that we got going on and just focusing our heart and gratitude towards God, who he is, who we are in him, and what he's already done. And it just causes us to just be able to apprehend what God was already desiring to speak and do in our lives. Come before him with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the pathway to experience more of God's presence. And come on, church, more than anything, daily, we need to be in the presence of God. And he's giving us some inside information here. God, Exodus chapter 34 says this, that God is a jealous God. He's jealously desiring a relationship with you. He's jealously desiring time with you. He's jealously desiring that place in your heart to be given to him and to place your trust in him. He's a jealous God, but let me tell you something. He's the furthest thing from a selfish God. Let me say it again. He's a jealous God, but he's the furthest thing from a selfish God. So when he's encouraging us, come before me with thanksgiving. Bring your requests, your dreams, your challenges, your pain, your needs. Bring those before me with thanksgiving. It's not because of what it does for him. Let me say it this way. God does not have self-esteem issues. It's not because of what it does for him. He understands that it postures and positions us to receive from him. Look at Philippians 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Come on, somebody say amen. Be anxious for nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, nothing. But in everything, look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and say, everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And God connects this attitude of gratitude to a heart that's covered with peace when he says, the peace of God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He says, with thanksgiving, come and present your request before me. You mean I'm supposed to already be giving thanks for the things that I'm currently asking or requesting or presenting to God? Yes. Why? Because we live and we move and we receive from God by faith. Romans 4, verse 16 says that the promises of God are received by faith. And let me just let you in on a little secret. Nothing establishes an atmosphere of faith for something you're needing God to do, believing God to do, seeking God to do, than proclaiming thanksgiving like it's already happened. That's the ultimate atmosphere of faith. It blows out the entire middle ground about will God, should God. I just say, Lord, I thank you that you're going to heal me. I thank you, Lord, you're going to restore that relationship. I thank you that you're going to provide for that need. I thank you that you're going to give me vision or wisdom for that thing that I've got coming up in my life. I'm thankful that you're going to do it. It establishes an atmosphere of faith that blows out the middle ground of doubt. We live and we walk and we obtain by faith. Declaring our thanksgiving for what we're currently seeking and needing God to do is like establishing a prophetic atmosphere over that need. It's the highest form of faith, thanking God in advance for what we know by his word he desires and wants to do in our life. Number three, it moves the heart of the king. Giving thanks in the midst of situations and circumstances and needs moves the heart of the king. Listen, I've used this before, so if you've heard it, just play along. But it's such a powerful analogy. It helps us to see what really is happening through the heart of God and the promises of God as written to us in God's word. And so I want to just use this analogy of a wealthy person. And I want you to just imagine someone really wealthy. I mean, there's a lot of zeros at the end of their net worth. And they write you a letter, a personal letter. And in that letter, they ask you, there's just a few things that they outline for you to do. But in response to you just taking those simple steps that they ask of you, this wealthy person is willing to do some amazing things on your behalf, including adopting you because you're a poor orphan. Including adopting you into his royal family. And as part of adopting you into his royal family, he's also going to make you a full heir with the other sons and daughters of his kingdom. Again, he's writing you this letter. This is what he's telling you that he desires to do for you and in your life. And there's just a couple things that he wants for you to do. But these are the promises that he's going to reciprocate. He's going to make you a full heir to a royal kingdom. He's going to establish a massive inheritance that you could never spend, even if you tried, for all eternity. And I just want to ask you this. If you received that letter, signed, sealed, and delivered, and certified, and you had read that out, And here's the thing, you would not have yet received any of the fulfillment of those promises. All you had was that person's good word. But you had received this, and you knew that this person was who they said they were, and you knew that this person could fulfill their word the way that they said that they would. You knew this person was faithful and integrous and would do what they said that they would do if you just did the part that you had to play. Now keep in mind, nothing has hit your bank account. You've just got the letter in your hand. If you encountered that person the following day, what would your posture be like towards that person? You had just received this letter the day before. I'm adopting you. I'm making you an heir. I'm giving you an inheritance that you could never spend no matter how hard you tried for all of eternity. That debt that you have, I'm paying it for you. Those things that are problems in your life, those legal things that you're dealing with, I'm going and I'm giving my good word to set you free from those things. What would your posture be towards that person if you bumped into him the next day? You haven't received a bit of it yet, just his good word. Come on, what would it be? I really want you to talk back to me in church. Grateful, thankful, gratitude, humility, overwhelmed. But you would be so grateful and thankful. If you bumped into that person, you would say, I got your letter yesterday, and I cannot tell you how grateful and thankful that I am for what you're doing in my life. And I'm more than willing to do those things that you outlined in your letter because I just am so thankful and overwhelmed by what you desire to do in my life. We would be so grateful. Nothing's hit your bank account, but there would be gratitude that you would express to that person. And it would move the heart of that person to fulfill his promises towards you. But what if you bumped into that person and he knew that you had received that letter? He had sent it certified. And you just kind of casually or callously just kind of bumped into him and just said, pardon me, and just walked on. And you didn't take the time to stop and to express gratitude towards that person. What would it do in the heart of that person towards you? Would it possibly create a conflict or a delay about whether or not you really deserved or were worthy of that fullness of the gift that he wanted to give to you? Now, that's where the analogy starts to get a little bit off track, because we don't earn the salvation of Jesus Christ. But I believe that there's a fullness, there's a richness, there's a reward that God's word says we should approach God and believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are things that he wants to do in your life greater than and more than you could ever ask, think, or even imagine, God's word says. And I believe that part of the posture of positioning ourselves to be capable of receiving it and stewarding it well is just already having an attitude of gratitude before it even comes into our life. Every day, just that. Listen, this is the letter of God to you. You once were lost, now you're found. You were an orphan, now you're part of a royal family. You had a debt, now it's paid. You had a bunch of issues and things saddled on your back, and God made a way for you to be set free from it. He's given you an inheritance that you can never spend for all of eternity. He's written you a good letter. And gratitude is what opens up the heart of the king to fulfill his promises to us. He's calling us to be a people of generosity, a people that give thanks. Can I ask the worship team, come up and prepare to just help me kind of land this thing and send us out with worship this morning? And as they step forward, my last point, and then we'll close with ministry and worship. Giving thanks. Remember, we're called, where this is live to give, and we're called to give thanks. Not only does giving thanks usher us into the presence of God, not only does it create an atmosphere, a prophetic atmosphere of faith that God will do what he said he would do. Not only does it move the heart of the king, but let me encourage you this morning, giving thanks, a heart of gratitude, a willingness to discipline ourselves, to give thanks for what God's already done and what we already have, it helps to insulate us. It helps to protect us from destructive forces that the enemy is trying to send against your life to keep you from walking in the fullness of the joy of Jesus Christ. When we really embrace gratitude, it's again, I go back to those studies that I read. You can go and look at it for yourself. The first one that pops up is a study from Harvard, and it just outlines with percentages of likelihood, the percentages of likelihood that people are less likely to be depressed, the percentages of likelihood that people are more likely to be happy and fulfilled in life if they express appreciation and gratitude for the things that they already have in their life. This attitude of gratitude, this posture of giving thanks, it insulates us. It protects us from destructive forces. It protects us from pride. Every day if I get up and I just say, Lord, I'm so thankful. What you've done in my life, the beautiful wife that I have, the family, the home, the church that I'm privileged to and blessed to pastor, everything that you've given me in my life and everything that you're yet to do, I can take no credit for it. I'm just so thankful and I'm just so grateful. It's by your hand and it's by your blood and it's because of your faithfulness that I have anything good to show with my life. Because without you, I remember where I was and I remember where I would be. Expressing gratitude helps to insulate us from pride. Expressing gratitude helps to break the chains of selfishness. It helps to break the chains of comparison. When we really just become grateful for who God's made you and who God's made me to be, and we quit comparing ourselves with others. It breaks that destructive, demonic force of comparison that causes so many people to be depressed and discouraged and comparing themselves to others and wishing they were this way or wishing they were that way. God wants you to just be grateful for what he's already done in your life. And being grateful positions you to really understand and begin to receive more of what God wants to do in your life. Listen, people of God, would you stand to your feet this morning and let's respond to him? And I just want to encourage you, if you've lost your way as it regards gratitude towards God, if you've lost your way as it regards gratitude and appreciation towards the people that are important in your life, your spouse and your children and your church and your church family, I believe that today God wants to just come and he wants to restore. I believe today God wants to come and he wants to remind us. I believe today God wants to come and he wants to lead us back into that posture of giving thanks in every circumstance, in every situation. So I want to ask you a few questions. In what area in your life do you have challenges or limitations that you've allowed your focus to be fixed on more than the things that God has already done in your life, the good things you have to be grateful for? I believe that God today wants to do something really deep in marriages. Perhaps the number one indicator and the number one thing that leads people towards the pathway of divorce is when we begin to allow the enemy to come and lie to us and deceive us about what we really have in our spouse. We begin to allow the enemy to begin to shift our focus on from all the good things, all the strengths, the merits, the blessings that our spouse brings to our life. And I know there are real challenges that we face in marriage. But I believe today that God wants to just restore the gratitude that we once had and that we should have for the good things. And I believe that in that posture, in that atmosphere, that's actually the pathway to some of the challenges or the weaknesses or the strongholds being healed and addressed. When God allows us to begin to once again just say, Lord, thank you. You've really blessed me. And I know there's some things that frustrate me. I know there's some things that need to change, but I'm just so grateful for what you've done in my life. Maybe it's another area of your life where the enemy's caused you to become kind of ungrateful, or you're kind of looking for the next thing or the new thing that you think will lead you to happiness and fulfillment. And today, God just wants to come and just remind you about the things he's already done in your life in a way that causes you to once again be grateful and thankful. And I believe that's the position and the posture that will position you to begin to receive the new things that God wants to do in your life. So right there where you are, how would you respond? Where does God need to reveal something or remind you of something? And Lord, thank you in those places. Thank you for beginning to show us today how we can begin to walk this out. For some of us, there's some people that we need to go, whether it's your spouse or someone in the church or whatever, just begin to express appreciation and gratitude. For some of us, it's towards God because we've just kind of been focused so much on something he's yet to do, a prayer he's yet to answer, that we've forgotten about all the things that he's already done in our life. Thank you, Lord, for just reminding us. Thank you, you're so gracious to remind us. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning? What's God already done in your life that you can begin to, in a new way or a fresh way, begin to give thanks for today? What are you believing for God to do in your life that you can begin to create and establish that atmosphere of faith? By today, instead of pleading and begging with God, you can begin to shift the perspective over that situation and begin to give thanks for God providing for that thing, for God answering that prayer, for God healing that thing, for God restoring that relationship, for God saving that child or that grandchild, for God reconciling that relationship, for God providing for that need, for God restoring that dream, whatever it is in your life. I believe that some of those things, God today wants to stir faith in your life to begin to give thanks for that. Thank you, Lord, for the provision. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. Thank you, Lord, for your timings. A lot of times, people of God, it's just the timing of God that's off. Something that we wanted God to do or expected God to do, it's just his perfect timing. He's delivering you to it. So, Lord, thank you for doing all those things for us today. And lastly, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus, to respond to the invitation of the Father to a relationship with him, to respond to the invitation of the Father to a new life in Christ. And perhaps you've lived that life before, and today's your opportunity to recommit, rededicate yourself. Or perhaps this morning, for the first time, your heart is just beating and pounding in your chest because you're realizing that you've been far from God. And today is your day. Today is the day of salvation for you. the day to come back to your Heavenly Father, the day to receive and respond in faith the invitation to a relationship and a new life in Christ. If that's you this morning, I just want to ask you to just, I'm not going to ask you to come down or put you on the spot. I just want you to just raise your hand. That's a level of response and faith I want to ask you to take this morning. If that's you this morning, you need to rededicate or renew your relationship with God and Jesus. Just lift your hand towards heaven. Just say, God, that's me. You see me. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Now, I want you to repeat this after me. And because we are your church family, I'm going to ask our church family to just repeat it with you. So, church, would you just pray this with me? Repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm so thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that you've forgiven me of my sins, that you've made a way for me to have new life, that you've made a way for me to have a second chance, a fresh start, and a new relationship with my Heavenly Father. I give you my heart, I give you my life, and I trust you for my future. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, and all God's precious people said with a clap and a shout of praise, come on.